You're listening to part one of two of the podcast for stand-up comics, music and performance by small press artists and writers. That title pretty much explains what the show is about, showing some audio projects of small press artists, including poetry, stories, plays and music. It's recorded as part of the weekly comics programme on Resonance FM. The first performance is by Gareth Brooks, who makes a comic called Man Man, about an amusing stickman character who admits on the MySpace to being an ignorant, cowardly cretin without an original idea in his head. Gareth, however, cannot be accused of having this in common with the man, and imaginatively portrays his characters. He's also created a beautifully drawn book called Smell of the Wild, a poem about the countryside, which he has recorded and which I am now pleased to present to you.
The Smell of the Wild. The bluetit hides itself in bracken, in every way unlike the kraken. It makes a summer's day complete to hear their pointy beaks go tweet. The long-tailed tit plays amongst the twigs and hangs off them just like some figs. The poet picks them with his eye and makes a figgy poem pie. The coal tit dancing hither-thither as if accompanied by a zither. Their gentleness the poet relishes, harmless unlike some types of jellyfishes. Look you, the glorious golden eagle, upon the tree he looks so regal. As he takes flight, he looks just like a very, very, very big seagull. The poet perceiveth all things fair. You couldn't explain it to a square. On beautiful things his soul doth feast, and riseth as if it contains some yeast. Whilst wars are fought and empires fall, the oak tree grows up big and tall. What joy to tarry beneath its shelter, the noble oak tree, what a belter! A stray sunbeam on the broad mill stream excites daydreams as it flows upstream. To read a magazine would be to blaspheme in so serene a green ravine. I'll have an unforeseen ice cream. The silver roach doth not encroach upon the pike who I really like. The speckled trout doth swim about and meander amongst the zander. The plump chub just like a sub, marine, behold the noble bream. The stripy perch do jump and lurch above the gudgeon, no curmudgeon could be railing against the grayling, nor be entrenched against the tench. The name barbel is easy to garble whilst praising carp on lyre or harp. Amid a sea of flowers I take a respite. They're like a crowd of very flamboyant transvestites.
Yoo-hoo!
They vie for my attention, challenging my sexuality and invention. Which fair flower next to choose, to receive the fragrant muse? As I hold aloft my poet's quill, I feel 110% brill. Give no retort as I exhort you to cavort, amid the butterflies, oh what sport! No film I've watched could be such fun, neither Spider-Man 3 nor Cannonball Run. I watch them in the sky a soar, the butterflies, oh crikey, core. As the day draws to a close, you find me in poetic pose. I smile upon my weary pen, my lines enlighten lesser men.
You can find Gareth's comics at www.appallingnonsense.co.uk. This next performance is a story by Stephen Tillotson, the creator of Banal Pig Comics. The performance is by Dan Lester.
round Michael Douglas's house. So, me and Michael were out at the disco, having a good time, dancing and all that, but I couldn't enjoy myself entirely because I had lost all my money on the fruit machines, and so wouldn't be able to afford a taxi home. It was too far to walk. Michael could see I was a bit upset and asked me why. When I explained, he smiled, and in his booming voice he said, "Don't worry, Steve-o, you can keep it mine tonight." Well, that was a relief, and with the weight off my shoulders I danced with all the girls until the wee small hours. Michael finally came up to me and said, "We're off." I could have gone on partying, but he was the boss tonight, plus he looks proper rough. A short taxi ride through the mountains and we were there. The house was very, very tall and thin, or at least it seemed that way in the dark. We went inside. The front door went straight into the living room, which was extremely small. You could nearly touch both walls if you stuck your arms out. Michael was strangely silent and walked off, returning much later with a small piece of very burnt cheese on toast. The way he looked at me meant I had no choice but to eat it. Michael went to bed without saying another word, and I tried to get comfy on the rug. I fell into an unpleasant sleep, and woke a short time later, feeling as cold as I had ever been. I put the rusty gas heater on to warm up, and the next few hours passed in a terrible black haze. The harsh sunlight of morning stirred me, and I decided to have a look around. I followed the narrow staircase upstairs, but it seemed like it terminated at a small toilet. For some reason, at this point I suddenly felt dizzy and nauseous, and could have easily been sick, but I willed myself not to. You've got to be the master of your own body. I paused for a moment and went back downstairs, no longer in the mood for investigating. I went into the kitchen and saw that there were piles and piles of burnt cheese on toast all over the work surfaces. Why had he only given me one piece then?
You can find out more about Banal Pig Comics by visiting the site www.banalpig.com/blog. Steve's work often features a lot of anthropomorphic characters who find themselves in banal, terrible, or ridiculous situations. The fourth Banal Pig comic will be available soon. If you've read these publications, you're likely to come across some poems which have been written by Gareth Brooks. In fact, Gareth created some songs for the Banal Pig fan club pack, which is a must for any fan of the characters. One of them is about a very jolly kind of bear.
Jolly. is trolley, 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 trolley. Trolley, 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 trolley. He's trolley, 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 trolley. Jolly, 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 jolly.
The next performance is by the creator of 1-800 Mice Comics, Matthew Thaber, who also has an audio project called Ambergris. The first piece is an excerpt from the soundtrack to an installation in Switzerland and Brooklyn called Antimatter, Alma Mater. It's made by Matthew Thaber and Rebecca Bird, and it depicts, according to the website, the amnesia-riddled dialogue between two students of the Carrot University of Time Travel, one of whom is a teenage girl made of crystal. You can find Rebecca Bird's work and Matthew Thaber's work at www.ambiguousmass.org.
What is this place? I have the strangest feeling of deja vu.
Don't you remember, Charles Timewilson? You got a degree in time traveling from this school. These buildings you see down on the glacier shelf are all that remains of the Carrot University of Temporal Research and Experimentation.
I have amnesia. But I remember the words of some of my teachings. The multiplicity of the streams of time is infinite. Each second divides itself like a cell. If you learn to squeeze between the walls of these cells, you will find it possible to travel laterally through time.
Oh, you remember! Maybe your amnesia is curable.
I don't think that's a possibility. I was subjected to invasive brain surgery while I slept. The culprits tried to steal my brain, to study it, thinking they could find out the secrets of time travel, but I woke up midway through the operation after they had taken only a small portion of my brain. I found myself in an operating room. It was highly disturbing. I probably know who it was. I saw them as they ran out of the room. Unfortunately, the part of my brain containing the memories of who it was stolen.
What a shame! What a damn shame!
Don't get all emotional about it.
Well, in fact, I never do because of my peculiar existence. Any display of emotion that you witness from me is just a simulation of human behavior. But although I do consider it unfortunate that part of your brain was stolen, this is only because I am organically disposed to prefer wholeness and symmetry in physical matter. I have learned the usefulness of simulating emotional states so as not to disturb genuinely living creatures.
Well, thank you. That's very sympathetic of you, but I am trying not to feel upset about it, so the more calm the better, actually. But returning for this reunion is making me a little nervous. You see, I have a suspicion that the instigators of this crime were some of my fellow students. It's even possible that I could come across them during the reception in the Moonlight Dance.
So what have you been doing since graduation day?
I've spent the last 10,000 years since graduating trying to track down these miscreants, these brain robbers,
but they have proved impossible to track. Of course, some of the problem could be the fact that I can't remember who I am from moment to moment.
Wow! Talk about identity theft!
I remember certain things, but nothing is connected. A Persian rug, a doorknob, shaking hands with a man in a turban, a giant leech stuck to my leg, a giant cookie being smashed over my head. But these clues do not add up. I have my suspicions about who it was, of course.
Who do you think it was? The CIA?
Well, I'm fairly certain it was a gang of students from the past. They were trying to cheat on their final thesis by analyzing my brain, uploading all my information, and then continuing to use the time they were not spending at study on other nefarious projects. Since the beginning of the school, there has always been a faction interested in using time travel for selfish purposes. For instance, I believe Stagley Bypass was among the wrongdoers. He seems to hail from the medieval period originally, and has never discarded the appearance of a Bavarian warrior. He learned early the uses of the carrot, but he has never had the patience to really study, or known any respect for any teacher or ethical philosophy.
Yes, Stagley Bypass. Originally, he was from the 14th century. Broke away from the teachings of the carrot in the 1800s when he took on the project to create hybrid animals as a way of reversing the time flow. It is to him that we give thanks to the squawk and other monstrosities. I remember him always sneering, wearing a letterman's jacket, smoking a huge pipe.
Yes, a pipe full of ashes of deceased millionaires. From his temporal base in the 1800s, he travels throughout the time continuum, causing havoc. Building his palaces of ice and his bungalows of bone, dissecting animals without anesthetic.
He founded his own school in an unused area of the astral plane, a dead zone known as the foam. Yes, it sounds like it could be he who filched a portion of your frontal lobe.
And that's why I look so weird in my yearbook photo.
It's a mistake.
Singing their haunting refrain, the song that accompanied me through all my studies here at the time travel school, 200 years of study. This place is so desolate. My old alma mater, the Carrot University of Temporal Research, all alone, standing out in the middle of the glacier.
It was built in the middle of the vast Arneson Glacier in Greenland because that was the only completely dead area where human thoughts would not interfere with the magnet-like astral energy collectors of the carrot. The goonie birds are not really birds, just noises that resemble birdsong caused by pressure escaping through the openings in the astral plane.
Which is not really a plane, but a tube. Or as it is informally known, carrot.
This is also not a real forest, but cones of snow are caused to rise up from the glacier by the emitting of psychic radiation. Have we been here before? I have a funny feeling.
I suppose it's possible that we could have traveled this way before. I don't remember you from school.
What? How could you have forgotten? We have the same math teacher. We were in the same orbital cuneiform program together. And what about our Internet 6.0 training? Heck, we even dated for a little while. Don't you remember saying this is the most wonderful thing ever happened?
No.
Well, you didn't say it about me, but about a sandwich you were eating.
A sandwich, yes. A sandwich. Do you think we will be called upon to perform or recite the rules of the carrot?
I suppose it is a possibility, for especially if the school's principal is still Mr. Haroldine Yuta Whiskers, otherwise known as Dr. Whiskers. His long travels in the carrot transformed him gracefully and gradually into a rabbit.
What happened during the last 5,000th year class reunion? I didn't go, I was too caught up in my fruitless investigation.
It wasn't too crowded. Everyone followed Dr. Whiskers out during the bunny hop. The bunny hop, what a dance craze! A long, beautiful line of time travelers hopping out into infinite space while the music played. While the music played. While the music played. The bunny hop.
Don't worry about your personal appearance. Everyone already knows what you will look like in the future.
I've also really been enjoying listening to an ambergris CD by Matthew Thaber called Extrema Trees. This next song is called Ice Water, and it's from this collection of recordings. Thank you. Again, you can buy the CD from the shop at www.ambiguousmass.org. To find the websites of people who have taken part in the show, please visit www.panelborders.wordpress.com. I'm Gemma Cantelow and have co-produced the show with Alex Fitch. Thanks very much for listening.